We continue in Romans in chapter 13, verses 8 to 14. Romans 13, verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This is the word of the Lord.
So, we're carrying on through Romans, and we get to this section now, which talks all about love. And the theme that I was given to preach on tonight was love, love, love. And of course, when you think of love in the Bible, the first place you turn to is Corinthians 13. All about love, and we hear it at every wedding, because it's all about love. And it says at the end of that passage, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. As we get to this passage, Paul says, fulfillment of the law is love. That's what it's all about. It's all about love. You know, the Beatles got it right. All we need is love. And that's what this is telling us, that it's all about love in our lives. You see, as we're going through this, and we talked last week a little bit about how the sermons for the last few weeks have been fitting into a pattern of starting Romans 12 and ending at the end of Romans 13. And basically, it starts off with Romans 12, the beginning of it, talking about our relationship with God. And it says, what is required of us? What's required of us is to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That's our relationship with God. And that moves on to say, think of yourselves with sober judgment. Only act according to the faith that's been given to you. Don't be proud. Think of yourself in the right way. So we have, first of all, our relationship with God, and then our relationship with ourselves, and that moves again to talk about our relationship with the church and the body of Christ and those around us in the church. And then it moves on from that to talk about our relationship with both good and evil. And Paul expressed that we need to cling to what is good and flee from what is evil. And he says in that as well, don't take revenge. Don't do that. That's for God to sort out, not for you. So it's kind of our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with the church, our relationship with good and evil in light of the people around us. And then last week we had a fairly intense sermon about the state and the authorities and how we're called to live under that and respect that and to honour that, our relationship with the world around us. And Paul kind of brings us to a conclusion and says, ultimately, relationship is all about love. You see, the passages that we've been talking about set out an ideal. I talked about this to some degree last week, about how the passage is setting out an ideal of what is the best way. So the ultimate thing to do is offer yourself to a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's what we're striving towards. It's something that we don't always achieve. We're called to think of ourselves with sober judgment. That's the ideal, but sometimes we get a bit big for our boots. We're called to serve in the fellowship. We're called to relate to one another within the church body, all bringing our gifts, all bringing what God has given us to bring to the church, and yet some of us don't. And you see, it's the ideal that God, that Paul is presenting. He's saying, this is what God would require of you. It comes to the state and says, the state should be like this. And if it is like this, then live at peace with it and respect his authority. But we kind of looked last week about how actually, when the authorities of the state step outside of that, there's a place for the call of the church to say, that's not right. That's not just. God's the final authority of all things, not the state. And he's saying it's all summed up in this thing of relationship. Our relationship with different aspects of the world around us. With God, ourselves, with others, with the world around us. It's all about love. The relationship of love. You see, it says about how the law was given to us. And the law was good. And the law showed us what God was like. And how we could never fulfill that. In the same way, this passage is kind of reflecting that by saying, this is what it should be like, but we're never really going to make that. But what he says is the law has been fulfilled in the love of God shown to humanity. Christ coming to earth, being God's ultimate act of love. And then, we talked about a few weeks ago at Pentecost Sunday, about how actually the gift of the Holy Spirit is God's gift of love to the world. And it's the power of love which ministers. That's the highest calling. So what type of love is it all about? Because in our English translations of the scriptures, the word love we use here, there and everywhere. But in Greek, there's different words for love. See, because I can say, I love God, in the same way I can say, I love a kebab. But I don't think a kebab is worthy of the same love that God's worthy of. See, we use love in a very kind of, a very fickle way. We use it very here and there. But actually we stop thinking about what God's love is actually about. See, so in Greek, you've got a word for love called storge, which is kind of to have an affection for something. So I would storge a kebab. I have affection for it. I quite like my kebabs. I have affection for it. But I don't want to marry it, and I don't want to worship it. So it's storge, it's saying, this is the kind of love. It's that of an affection. There's also philios, which is kind of the love of a friend or a brother. It's that kind of close friendship that you have with someone. And then there's eros, which you can probably imagine what that type of love is about. Eros is the kind of romantic love, the erotic love, the love of two people coming together in intimacy, the love which is that of romance. But so far, those three don't seem to be how I should relate to God, surely? Because I'm not romantically in love with God. I don't just like him like a kebab. And he's my friend, but surely he's more than just a friend? And the scriptures use a word called agape, which is the kind of love that God would have us use. It's the kind of sacrificial love, the type of love that wants to do anything you can for someone else. It thinks otherly. It's not about you. It's about other people. And Roger talks about this in Starfeeding quite a lot. And we turn often to the passage with Peter and with Jesus at the end of John's Gospel, where Jesus turns to Peter and says, do you love me? And he says, of course I love you, Jesus. Jesus says, no, but do you love me? Jesus, of course I love you. No, but do you love me? Of course I love you. And Peter gets really upset with this. And in the English, and Roger will tell you this just as well, and he tells this stuff in quite regularly, it's a good reminder, that the words for love there are actually different types of Greek word for love. So what's actually going on there is Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me with God's love? Do you love me the way God loves me? And Peter says, Jesus, of course I love you as a brother with philios. Of course I love you as a brother, as a friend. Jesus says, no. Do you love me like God, with God love, with agape, that sacrificial love? Jesus, of course I love you as a friend and as a brother. So Jesus says to Peter, you love me as a friend? He goes, I'm really offended, of course I love you. And Peter misses the irony of Jesus there. He's saying, do you love me the way God intends us to love each other? He's kind of making a point to Peter there that you're missing the mark. We don't just love God. We don't just love in this world with kind of philios, or with storge, or with eros. We're called to love with agape, God love. Peter, do you love me with God love? Peter, do you love me with God love? So different types of love mean different types of things. And we use love so fickly and so here and there. But the love that God requires and the love that God calls to mind is a deeper love, a deeply centered love, which causes a response in our heart. There was a theologian back in the day, right back in the early church, called Augustine. And he wanted to try and explain the Trinity. He wanted to try and explain how it works and functions, which is something that theologians have tried to do for years. And I don't think anyone will ever come close, because it's one of those mysteries of faith. How can God be one but also three, and three but also one? It's a mystery. But Augustine said this, that he said the relationship of the Trinity is that of love. He said, so the Father is the lover. He gives love. And he gives love to the Son, who is the loved. And he said that the greatest gift God can ever give is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the gift of the Holy Spirit must be the love. So he said the relationship in the Trinity is that of someone who is loving, that is someone who is receiving love, and the interchange of love between those persons. It gets a bit complicated, I know, but just hear me out. So it's about a relationship, it's about the giving and receiving of love. So the Trinity, which is this thing where you have the Father, the Son, the Spirit, all in mutual love, declaring love for each other. And out of that love, to express that, they create something to which they can lavish this love even greater onto. And so humanity is formed, and creation is formed out of the abundance of the love within the Trinity. And God wants to have a relationship with us. The first part of Corinthians 12 is our relationship with God. So God wants to have a relationship with us. As we talked about on Pentecost, that couldn't happen because we missed the mark. And we can't approach God equal to equal because we're mortal and God is divine. And so ultimately, God sent Christ into the world to be a sacrifice for us. And when that moment when he died on the cross, the temple curtain was torn in two where the Holy of Holies was. And he said, anyone can now enter the Holy of Holies. And the Spirit comes as a gift of love to humanity. You see, we then receive the love of Christ, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit. So just as a Son is loved by the Father with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and just as Christ ministered with the love of the Holy Spirit in his heart, so Christ chooses to love us by giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit is the embodiment of God's love. So we can receive the love of God, not philios, not storge, not eros, but a sacrificial love, a love which goes beyond human understanding. See, at the time when Peter was sort of saying, of course I love you as a brother, of course I love you as a friend, he didn't have the Holy Spirit at that point in his life. He hadn't received the fullness of the love of God in his life. And yet, in 1 Peter, later on, he says, I get the love of God. I understand it now. This love is so vast, so huge, so big. I just can't contain it. It's huge. He suddenly gets that this goes beyond where he was at. This goes beyond just liking someone. This goes beyond loving someone romantically. This is about sacrificially giving your soul and your life and who you are for the needs of others. So we talk about sacrificing our lives for the sake of Christ, saying the love that God I want to show to you is that of surrendering who I am sacrificially for you. So Romans 12 shows that it's about our relationship with God. And within the body of the church, we're called to love each other. Not with, I like them a little bit, but if they offend me, I don't like them. It's a love which goes beyond liking. It's a love that goes beyond offence. and says, no matter what happens here, I sacrificially give of myself to this congregation. That's what the whole Baptist concept of membership's about. It's saying, I covenant to be sacrificially involved with this community. But actually, I lay myself bare before everyone here and say, I'm here to serve. And to love you is to serve you. That's the love that Christ shows to the world. And then it's about our love for the world. So of course, that within the church is quite easy to do sometimes. But it goes out to the world. See, so the love that we have received, the love that we give back to God, we are then called to then show that to the world. Because we are the love of God to the world. We have the ability to have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The power of God himself, the power to love like God loves. I mean, the fact that God loves everyone here, regardless of who you are, what you've done, where you've come from, God still loves you. And that's the love that we're called to then show to those around us, to the world around us, and demonstrate it. The scriptures say, freely you have received, so freely give. The love that you have received from God, that sacrificial love of Christ dying on the cross for you. And when you say, God, I surrender back to you with that same love. I lay down my life to follow you. That mutual sacrificial love, that agape, that greatest love. We can experience that with other people. We can demonstrate that to other people. And why sacrificial love is so important in regard to this chapter. And he says, that's what God's like. God is love, the scriptures say. Jesus was the fulfillment of the law, which is love. And Paul here in this passage tonight recites Jesus' words to say, love your neighbour as yourself. But we know it of Jesus when he says, first of all, love God. Be in relationship with him. So when you're in relationship with God, and your understanding of that love between you and God, then you can show it to other people. So you have to be in relationship with God before you can ever show the love that God requires. Your relationship with God is crucial to maintaining the ability to love like Jesus loved. It's about the upwards and the sideways. About our love with God, which empowers our love for others. That's what this passage is talking about. But this passage also goes on to talk about how, wake up, because the end is coming. We've nearly reached this new season where we're all going to live in glory with God. And Paul's basically saying, start living out your life as if you're already there. Start living out your life as if you're already with Christ in glory, that you are already living the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Stop being in sleep, basically. Open your eyes. Stop just waiting for the day when you're transformed in the twinkling of an eye before Christ. Stop just waiting around for that and wake up to the fact that it's already begun. It's already here. And that's what the Holy Spirit being given was all about. He's saying, you can start living out the kingdom now. And the thing about the kingdom is eternal. And so the kingdom, when we do things for the kingdom, they have eternal value. Have eternal value. And so when we start loving like God requires us to love, that love is of eternal value. Storge, eros, and philios will all pass away. But the one love that will remain is the love of God, which is eternal and everlasting. So he's saying, start living now with that love. Because when you get to heaven, that's what it's going to be like. You have the ability now, with the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, to start having relationships with other people, like the relationship of the Trinity. Where I can love you, and you can receive the love that I want to give you, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you receive that, and you understand what it's like to receive that, then you can give it, and experience what that gift is like. And we talked a few weeks ago at Pentecost about how when you look in Corinthians, the passage about love is smack bang in the middle of a whole thing about gifts of the Spirit. Because the gifts of the Spirit are an outworking of the kingdom here on earth. So what he's saying is, When you heal someone, you don't heal them because it's a nice thing to do. You heal them because it shows the sacrificial eternal love and value of the kingdom. That's what's happening there. When you cast out a demon, you're doing it because it's saying, I call the love of God into this situation, which is eternal. For one day, those things of the enemy will pass away. And the rule of love will be central. So love has eternal value. And I don't think it's any coincidence that Paul says about living for this day, living for this time, wake up to it. And then he says, let us behave decently in this daytime. Not in orgies or drunkenness or sexual immorality or debauchery. Not in dissension or jealousy. Not in orgies. Not in eros. Not in drunkenness. In storge. He's saying, don't do it. Don't love the way the world loves. Don't give yourself over to the way the world loves. It brings instant gratification to you, but it has no eternal value. It has no eternal depth. So I don't think it's any coincidence that Paul uses these ideas of immorality and debauchery and jealousy. He's saying, don't love yourself. Don't cover other people. Don't get caught up in this worldly way of thinking about love. Because ultimately, it's going to pass away. So start living now with the love which is eternal value. Wake up and start living eternally. You see, so when someone offends you in the congregation, why is it important to make up and show love? Not because it makes it better now, because it has an eternal value to that. Because you're going to spend eternity with each other, so make up now, because in eternity you're going to see each other quite a lot. It has eternal value. The love of God has an eternal value. Let's turn to Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so in light of that, hear the word of God again. And now I will show you the most excellent way. This is the ultimate way of being, to love with God's love. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You can do all this great stuff. You can be the greatest prophet. You can be the greatest healer. You can speak in the fanciest tongues you like. Does it have any eternal value? Well, they do if the heart of it is God's depth of love. Otherwise, they're just activities. They're just things that happen. And they have no eternal consequence. But if they're rooted in God's love, they will have value. Because love remains. I carry on. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but not love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. He's saying, you can try and live as the greatest Christian. You can be the most pious person. You can give away all your possessions. You can be really wise and clever about the scriptures. But if your love isn't rooted in God's love, it has no eternal value whatsoever. It has to come from an abundance of love with God. And then those things have value. He goes on to say, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. The love of God is the crucial key to seeing the power of God in our lives. Because if the gift of the Holy Spirit is the embodiment of love, if the Holy Spirit is the embodiment of love, then when we seek to heal, when we seek to serve the poor, when we seek to do all these things, they are acting as a gift of God to the world and to those around us. It only counts if it's rooted in love. If we do it because we feel we ought to do it, that's not good enough. It's about God's love. And in the church, there's become a void of love. We have become people who love with human love, but we then disguise it as if we're Christians, we love each other. And actually, there's backbiting and there's fighting, there's this and there's that. And that's going to happen, because that's life and that's real. That's what the here and now is about. But we're called to try and strive towards the ideal that God sets out in Scripture. We're called to try that out and say, okay, you've really, really annoyed me today, but God says God's love is more important than how I feel. And therefore I'm going to choose to love you with sacrificial love, and I'm going to choose to serve you, and I'm going to choose to try and model out the future kingdom to come. Paul is saying we live in the now and the not yet. That we have been saved, but there's one day when we'll be saved fully. That we can minister in the Holy Spirit and the love of God now, but one day it will be full. So it's begun, but it hasn't ended, but the world hasn't ended yet. So you've got this overlap of the kingdom has started and begun with Christ and his ministry, but the here and now and the way the world is, they overlap. They're overlapping. So we're never going to get it perfectly right, but it's the striving that we should be looking for. I say, Romans 12 and 13 are saying this is how it could be. This is how it should be. And one day this is how it will be. So start living it. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of you, which is a seal which marks you out, saying you are saved. And one day you'll live in the fullness of that. It's a gift because it allows you to live with the love of God in your heart, knowing him in relationship, but knowing others in relationship too, with that same deep love. And it's a love which no one gets. You know, it says, Paul writes in Ephesians about how it's so vast. It's so big. It's so wide. Remember that song, Deep and Wide? Deep and Wide. Sorry. So there's flashback to Sunday school there, where you kind of go, whoa. But it's huge. Or, you know, it's so high you can't get over it. It's so wide you can't get around it. That's the kind of love that we should be seeking to live out. Love which is centered and rooted in sacrificing all that we are for the sake of God and for the sake of other people. And when we love like that, the world will be completely changed. Because the world won't get it. Because it's not just that we like the world. It's not just that we kind of like, you know, we romantically love the world. It's not that we love it just as a brother or we have an affection to it. It's saying, actually, we love you sacrificially and we want to serve you. Where there is injustice, we want to bring justice because the heart of God is that. Where there is sickness, we want to sacrifice our time to pray with you and seek God for you because that's not how the future kingdom is. And we want to live the future kingdom here on earth and say that this is what heaven is like. The charismatic movement, some of us get so caught up with this, that and the other and the feelings and the emotions and those kind of things, which are part of it. We are made as emotional people. But when it moves into emotionalism, it becomes an abuse of that. It has to be rooted in God's love. That's what it's about. That God loves us. And that we are called then to show that same love that we have received to other people. So get your relationship with God in order. And what I mean by that is understand that he loves you. Not about you working out a way that you can be penitent for all things that you've done wrong. That's part of it. But actually when I say get your relationship with God in order, I mean recognize that he loves you. Can you get that he loves you with God's love, which never fails, never lets you down. No matter what you do, you're still held by him, you're still loved by him. That will then allow you to love people in the same way. When you're resting in the love of God, you can't help but show it to other people. And that's what Paul's saying is, wake up to that fact. That if it's all about love, if it's all about that way, and that day is coming soon when we're going to be in that full relationship with him, start practicing now. Start living it now as people of love. As people who really, truly care about one another sacrificially. Where actually we'll give that little bit of extra time. Where actually we will have you round for a meal. Where actually we will long to pray with you and pray for you in situations that you find yourself in. There's an absence of love in the church. And we wonder why people don't come. We can be a loving community, i.e. we have affection for each other, that we like each other as friends. But is this fellowship really rooted in God love? We sacrifice ourselves for others? That's the challenge. Can we live daring to put our faith in Christ and daring to believe that the Holy Spirit lives in us as a gift of love? Then we can love others too, with that same power, the same love that is held within the Godhead itself. That's the love that we can experience and we can demonstrate. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your love. Lord, I want to thank you that it leads us to do abundant things. That Lord, when we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we are able to love in ways we could never have imagined. We can love people who we never thought we would ever love. Lord, we can do amazing things with you. Your word says it, and we believe it to be true. Lord, I want to pray that each of us here will get our relationship with you in order and recognize that you love us with an unending love so that we can love our neighbors as ourselves. And the ideal set out in Scripture here will become a reality in our churches, in our lives, in our workplaces, and in this world. Amen. So may the mercy of God find you, the grace of God save you, and the love of God uphold you and sustain you as you go from this place, as you go to your homes, and as you go and you minister into the world. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. Let's share in the words of the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.